Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Tommy Cook. This week's story on Heartbeat Theater is titled Success, an original play by Milton Kahn. It is a story of revenge and of a young man who is determined to keep a 6-year-old self-made promise. With Tommy Cook in the role of Frank Bennett, here is the first act of Success.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Is this seat taken?
No.
Mind if I sit here?
Help yourself.
Oh, thanks. I'm Captain Ennis of the Salvation Army.
I recognize the uniform. I'm Frank Bennett.
Well, glad to know you. How far are you going?
Chicago.
Well, that's a coincidence. So am I.
Maybe I'm prying into your business, but somehow, you don't look like what I thought a Salvation Army officer would look like.
No?
What I mean is, you look like you should be playing pro football or coaching a team instead of, I guess you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Matter of fact, I was on a football team in college. Captain.
What position did you play?
Fullback.
Oh, figures. Mind my asking you why you joined the Salvation Army?
Well, when I was in the service overseas, I saw how much prayer meant to fellows in combat, including me. It kept me from cracking up. I made myself a promise that when I got back home, I'd show others what prayer could do for them. When our troop train pulled into San Francisco, the first person I saw was the Salvation Army lass handing out some coffee and donuts. Well, that was the answer to what I wanted to do. So I kept the promise. I kept the promise I had made to myself and God when I was in the Pacific.
I guess every G.I. makes himself a promise of one kind or another.
Yes, I guess he does. Did you?
Yes. I promised myself I was going to be a success when I became a civilian. And I kept that promise.
Well, mind telling me how you made your success?
Well, my dad's got a farm outside Portland. And when I got out of the service, I started fooling around with an idea for freezing fruits. I borrowed some money from my dad and got my process on the market.
Mm-hmm.
I started on a small scale, but it went so well I had to buy a larger processing plant by the end of the first year. And from then on, business boomed.
Well, it seems you kept your promise all right. Now I suppose you're on your way to Chicago to open up another plant.
No. I'm going to look up somebody. Somebody I knew when I was in the service.
Oh, buddy?
He was no buddy of mine.
You say that quite definitely.
And that's the way I meant it. He was a sergeant I had.
Oh.
And hated.
Well, I guess we all had non-coms that we didn't get along with.
It was more than just not getting along with Sergeant Driver. But I suppose you don't understand. I guess hate isn't in your vocabulary.
Is it in yours? Really?
You didn't know Sergeant Driver.
Well, I've probably known men just like him. Why not tell me about him and let me judge for myself whether he should be hated or not?
It's an awful long story.
And we're still a long way from Chicago.
It's not what I'd call a pleasant story either, Captain.
Well, being a Salvation Army officer, I'm sure I've heard many other less pleasant stories.
Well, maybe it would be better to tell someone else. I've kept it to myself for 6 years.
I'm a good listener.
Well, like I told you, my dad had a farm outside Portland. I was born and grew up there. The only thing I knew until I went into the service was farming. And I wasn't too good at that. Yep, just a country boy, that's what I was, with straw sticking out of my ears.
So, this is the fighting material I'm going to have to work with, huh? Looks like I got my work cut out for me. What's your name?
Bennett.
Private Bennett.
Oh, yes, sir. Private.
And you can cut out the sir stuff. It's sergeant.
Oh, yeah. Sure, sergeant.
Where are you from?
Oregon. A little town near Portland. We have a farm.
Oh, a country boy, huh? Well, we'll get the straw out of your ears, Sonny. You a farm boy, too?
Not me, Sergeant. No, I'm Sam Parker. Private Sam Parker from Texas. But you just call me Dallas, Sergeant.
Yeah, we'll just stick with Parker.
You're the boss.
So you're a big man from Texas, huh? Well, how could they bear to let you go?
Chuck, Sergeant, they was glad to get rid of me.
Yeah, and I think I know why. All right, you guys. I want you to listen to what I got to say, and I want it to sink in. Now, there's a scrap going on over there in Korea, and they're going to need soldiers, fighting men. Lots of them. Well, my job is to see that they get them. That's why you're here. But let's get something straight right now. This ain't no Boy Scout jamboree. Before you leave this camp, I'm going to make real soldiers out of you monkeys. After taking a good look at you right now, I think I'd stand a better chance if you were monkeys. All right, fall out and report to the supply room for your equipment. At least we can try to make you look like soldiers. Like marching in unison. We're going into a combat area, remember? Not a dance in a high school gym. Oh, they expect me to train a bunch of half-baked... Hey, farm boy, come here.
You mean me, Sarge?
Yeah, I mean you. I just want to ask you one question, soldier. You know your left foot from your right foot?
Well, sure I do.
Well, then why don't you act like it? When I say squad right, I mean squad right. You get me?
Well, sure, but I thought
never
I did...
Never mind what you thought. Let me do the thinking. Before you have an accident and somebody gets hurt. And another thing. When you march, march like you were a soldier, not a plowboy planting potatoes. All right, now get back in ranks and let's try again. And it's time to chew their brains!
Frank. Hey, Frank.
Huh? What?
You sleep?
One guess.
Me either. Guess we're in for a big day tomorrow.
Yep.
What are you thinking about?
I'll give you one guess on that, too.
Sergeant Driver, I'll bet.
You're a bright boy, Dallas.
You know something, Frank? He's got no right riding us the way he does.
He's got to live up to his name, doesn't he? They don't call him Slave Driver for nothing. Well, I ain't going to take much more, believe me.
Nothing much you can do about it, as far as I can see. No, we're just plain little old privates, and as long as we are, we got to take orders and keep our traps shut. That's the Army, old buddy.
Well, if being a private means we got to take all that lip from Driver, then your old buddy boy Frank Bennett isn't going to be a private much longer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, don't tell me you're thinking of bucking for a stripe already.
I'm bucking for anything that'll get Driver off my back. For some reason, he sure got it in for me.
Oh, it ain't just you, Frank.
No? Well, then how come he's all the time picking me to volunteer for a detail? Or chewing me out in front of the other guys? Or calling me farm boy or hayseed? Oh, I sure don't know what he's got against me. But if making a stripe is the only way to get him to lay off, then I'm going to be the buckinest private you ever saw. Good night, Dallas.
Good night. Sergeant.
And that's how it began, Captain Ennis. From the very first day I hit that basic training camp, Sergeant Driver had it in for me. I don't know why me particularly. Maybe because I was just a country boy who didn't have much of an education. Somebody he felt he could shove around.
And that's what you thought, huh?
I still do.
I see.
Well, like I said, I decided to knock myself out doing whatever I was supposed to, and I did. When we had any more marches, I was the first one up with my pack rolled and ready. When we had any field problems, I pulled mine off without a hitch. When we hit the firing range to qualify, I made expert. But I wasn't good enough, as far as Sergeant Driver was concerned.
Well, now, maybe you just thought
nothing! He told me so. Just a couple of days before we shipped out for Korea... When the ratings were posted, I was sure I had mine made. I was sure I had made corporal. But I didn't. I figured Driver had something to do with it. So I decided to have a talk with him. Hey, Sergeant.
What? Oh, it's you.
Yeah. I want to have a talk with you.
What's the matter? Don't you feel good? Maybe got a slight case of gangplank fever?
They just posted the ratings.
Okay, they posted them. So what?
So how come my name wasn't on that list?
What makes you think it should have been?
You know any reason why it wasn't?
I might.
Yeah, I figured you would. You kept my name off that list, didn't you?
What do you think?
I think you did.
You're smarter than I thought, country boy.
But why? What do you got against me?
Look, I ain't got time to play 20 questions. We're shipping out in a couple of days.
I want to know why you kept my name off that rating list.
All right, I'll tell you why. Because I don't think you're due for a rating, that's why.
You don't think? What do I have to do first, break my back?
Oh, wait a minute, what are you getting sore about?
I got a right to be sore. I went through basic the top of my platoon. I got the highest score in the range. I got the
best... Yeah. You got. Well, sonny boy, I'm going to tell you something you haven't got.
You do that.
You still haven't got what it takes to make a good fighting man. Sure, you got a good eye. You learned how to carry out an order. But you got a lousy attitude, always walking around with a chip on your shoulder.
So what do you expect me to do? Slap you on the back and say, thanks for keeping me off the rating list, Sarge. Next time I'm going to do a little better.
Yeah, that might help.
Now look.
Wait a minute, you look. The first day you guys hit this camp, I told you, I was going to ship out with an outfit of fighting men. Men who knew how to handle themselves when the going got rough. I didn't mean just one man, Bennett. One man who made expert on the firing range and did okay on maneuvers. I knew how to do a field problem. I'm in a team working together for each other, not for themselves. Did I get through to you?
Yeah, you got through.
All right, then. Now you know why your name isn't on that list. Maybe by the time we get over to Korea, you'll get wise to yourself, country boy. And again, maybe you
won't. Okay, Sarge. If that's the way you want it, I'll wise up. Maybe I'll wise up more than you expect.
That was the first act of Success, starring Tommy Cook as Frank Bennett. You know, there are times when all a person needs is someone to talk to, someone with whom they can talk out a problem that's been bothering them and who can advise them on how to go about taking care of it. In thousands of instances each year, the Salvation Army is that someone. With staffs of trained social workers and family counselors, even such problems as the one which is developed in our story has been solved. The Salvation Army wants to help you and can if you'll give them the chance. If you have a problem or need assistance of any kind, don't hesitate to give them a call. The Salvation Army will be happy to help you. Now, here is Act Two of Success, starring Tommy Cook as Frank Bennett.
It's almost 8 o'clock, Captain Ennis. We should be in Chicago soon.
Yeah, it won't be long now.
Somebody meeting you at the station?
Yes, Captain Black will be there. How about you?
Oh, I'll just hop a cab to the hotel.
Why not go with us? I'm sure Captain Black wouldn't mind dropping you off.
Well, thank you, but I really don't want to put you out.
No, no, you wouldn't be putting us out. Besides, I want to hear the rest of your story.
Are you really interested?
Well, of course I am.
Beats me why anybody would want to hear anything about a character like Sergeant Driver.
Personally, I find him quite interesting.
Interesting? Well, I don't get it. Why do you...
How about telling me the rest of the story? Now, you said you found out about the rating you didn't get just a few days before you shipped out to Korea.
Yeah, that's right. And I was plenty burned up about what Driver had said to me about teamwork and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm not trying to make excuses for him, Frank, but I think he was right.
Well, maybe he was, but it was the way he said it that got me sore. Just because I wanted to get ahead.
Well, we all want to get ahead, Frank, but... Well, at least most of us do, but we have to give ourselves a certain amount of discipline while we're doing it.
So what did I do that was wrong?
I'm not so sure you'd want to hear what I think.
Why not?
Well, first tell me what happened when you got to Korea. Then I'll give you my opinion, okay?
Okay. Well, for a while after we got over there, nothing happened. Between me and Sergeant Driver, I mean. There was too much else going on. We reached Korea about the 1st of October, 1950, and headed for Seoul. Our troops had retaken the town a week or so before we got there. Then we were joined by other UN troops and headed north toward the 38th parallel. Before the end of October, we'd taken Pyongyang, the North Korean capital. And then the fighting really got rough. That's when we first met up with the Chinese commies. Well, you know what happened after that. First, the UN troops would advance and the commies retreated. Then they'd take the offensive and we'd fall back. It went on that way all through November and December. Just when we thought we had them on the run, more of the Chinese communists would pour in, and we'd be off again. I remember during a breather on Christmas Eve, Dallas and I decided to open the few Christmas packages we'd received from home and had been carrying with us.
Well, now, Ma sure was thoughtful.
What did she send you?
A pair of wool socks she knitted special for me.
Boy, you can sure use them over here.
Argyle socks? Well, I guess Ma meant well. At least my pop sent me something I can use.
What?
One of them little zipper-top brushes with a toothbrush and toothpaste and razor and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I don't suppose the brush will ever get all the dirt and crud off my uniform. What'd your folks send you, Frank?
Oh, nothing much. Dad sent me a fountain pen and Ma sent me a box of her cookies. But they're all busted up.
Oh, it's too bad.
Well, you can't lug them all over Korea and expect them to be whole.
Oh, we can eat them anyhow. Then you can write your Ma and tell them how good they were.
Yeah.
Hey,
Dallas, these pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Real good. Frank?
Yep.
What you going to do when you get back home?
I haven't thought about it much. Dad wants me to work the farm with him.
You going?
I don't know. I really don't want to, especially. I never was one much for farming. Even if Sergeant Driver does think I'm a hayseed.
Well, what else would you do?
Search me. Guess I never had much schooling or training to do anything.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Probably just float around for a while until something pops up. How about you?
Oh, I'll probably get a job at Magruder's garage. Always did like to fool around jalopies. Frank.
Huh?
How come you don't like Sergeant Driver?
Do you?
Doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Boy, he bothers me.
Well, you're crazy to let him. It's like I told you before, nothing's ever going to change the way he is. All we can do is what he says and then forget about it.
Maybe you can forget about it, but not me. I don't like that guy, and I never will.
On account of he kept you from getting the strap?
That's part of it. Always needling me the way he does.
Oh, speak of the devil.
Huh?
Okay, you guys, let's break up the tea party.
What's up, Sarge?
We're pulling out again.
North?
South, from Bennett.
Yeah?
I want you to get out and help load the supplies on the truck.
All right.
Think you can do it without forgetting anything?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, see what you do.
Once we headed south from Hung Nam, we eventually holed up just outside of Seoul. By New Year's Eve, the fighting had eased up. In fact, nothing much was happening where we were. But there was kind of a feeling in the air that something was going to happen. We didn't know what. We were dug in at the base of a hill. We called it Blueberry Hill. Actually, we weren't right at the base of it because there was a wooded area between us and the hill.
You guys hear that?
I don't hear nothing, Sarge.
That's what I mean. That quiet you hear, I don't like it. It's too quiet. I got a hunch the commies are out there someplace.
Well, if they don't bother us, we won't bother them. Right, Frank?
Right.
That's where you're wrong. When they're this quiet, you can bet your bottom dollar they're planning something.
But we don't know if there are any commies out there.
Okay, so we find out. You're elected.
Me?
What's the matter? You scared?
No, I'm not scared.
Okay, maybe you'll never get anywhere as a civilian country boy, but here's your chance to prove you're a soldier.
Yeah? Well, I
Sarge.
Can.
Sarge, how about letting me go with him?
You volunteering, Parker?
Sure. Might as well prove I'm good at soldiering, too.
Okay, let's see. It's 23:30. The two of you will move out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You'll make a recon of the area up to the base of the hill, but only to the base. If the woods are clear, you report back here, and we all head for the top of the hill. You got it?
Got it.
How about you, Bennett? You understand what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, I understand, all right.
Okay, 15 minutes, and you move out. And, good luck.
Frank.
Yeah.
See anything?
No.
Me either.
Hey, you hear something just then?
No?
Well, listen. Thought I heard something.
Where?
Not sure.
Your imagination.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, don't be so sure. There. You hear that?
It's only a bird. Come on. Better start moving. We're almost to the base of the hill.
Okay.
There's that bird again.
Yeah.
Go on!
He's up there, Dallas. Got him. That's one bird I'll never sing again, Dallas. Dallas, you okay?
Frank.
Dallas! Dallas, hey, where'd you get you, huh? Are you hurt bad?
Yeah. Real bad.
Don't try to move. Yeah. Just take it easy, Dallas. Yeah, I'm going to put my jacket under your head here.
Thanks.
Yeah, take it easy, kid. Yeah, listen. I don't think you're hurt as bad as you think you are.
Yeah. Kid, no. You better go back.
No, Dallas. I'm not going to leave you here.
Go back. Nothing you can do. Help me. Frank.
Yeah?
Tell the sergeant. All's clear.
I'll tell him, Dallas.
And, Frank.
What?
Happy New Year.
Dallas? Happy New Year, kid. This stinking war. This stinking... hate it. Oh, I hate it. Sure, Dallas. I'll go back and tell the sergeant that it's all clear. He'll like that. Nice going, country boy, you'll say. Maybe get a medal for this, huh? Well, you keep your medal and your thanks, Sergeant Driver. I don't want them. You don't think I'll ever mount anything, huh? Well, maybe I'll just show you how wrong you are. You hear that, Dallas? You hear that? I'm going to show the sergeant how wrong he is. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to make a lot of money. And when I'm a success, I'm going to find Sergeant Driver and I'm going to spit right in his eye. You hear me, Dallas? I'm going to spit right in his eye.
And that was the promise you made to yourself. Promise you swore to keep.
That's right. And I did make a success of myself.
A success was accomplished, all right, Frank. But it wasn't yours.
What?
It was your sergeant driver's.
Well, I don't get you.
I didn't think you did. A little while ago, you asked me for my opinion about Sergeant Driver. Now, if you still want it, I'll give it to you.
Certainly, go ahead.
Frank, I think you had the sergeant all wrong.
Oh, now,
and
please.
And I want to show you now why I think you have. You told me you were born and raised on a farm, but you didn't particularly like farming, right?
Right.
By your own admission, you never had a kind of training or schooling to do any other kind of work. When you were overseas, you didn't have any idea about what you were going to do when you returned to civilian life, except to float around and see what turned up. Am I still right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And this was the 18-year-old Frank Bennett who volunteered in the Army and then went through his military life with a chip on his shoulder.
But, Captain, I think there's...
You resented and hated Sergeant Driver for needling you, for picking on you and calling you country boy.
Sure I did. Wouldn't you have?
No, Frank, I wouldn't. I would have thanked him and been eternally grateful for what he did.
Thanked him? For what?
Still don't understand, do you?
Well, no, I don't.
Have you ever stopped to realize that he made you a soldier and evidently a good one?
What?
Did it ever dawn on you that he forced you to get mad at him so you'd do the things you did? Like making expert on firing range, excelling on field maneuvers, and ending up tops in your outfit?
What about the rating he kept me from getting?
Sergeant Driver gave you the answer to that. Physically, you were turning into the type of fighting man he wanted to take with him to Korea, but mentally, you were still carrying that chip on your shoulder. And until you lost it, you'd still be showing a weakness. That's why you didn't get your rating. He hoped that a little teamwork would make you realize that. Now do you begin to understand?
Well, if that's what he was trying to do, it was a plenty crazy way of doing it.
I don't think so. He was getting to you the only way he knew how. An old Army career sergeant only knows one way to get anything out of his men, Frank, and that's to get them fighting mad. I know it was that way when I was in the service, too.
It was?
Yes. Yeah, we had our sergeant drivers, too. And your sergeant driver accomplished what he set out to do with you. Not only while you were in the Army, but even after you got out and entered the business world. By telling you you'd never get anywhere. He knew you would just to spite him.
You really think that's what he did?
Don't you?
Well, I don't know.
That's why I said he was the one who turned out to be the success. You know, the Bible tells us there's a time for war and a time for peace. Also a time to love and a time to hate. Now this hatred that you think you held in your heart towards Sergeant Driver all these years, shouldn't it have been love?
I don't know.
Think about it for a while.
Next stop, Chicago.
We'll be pulling in a few minutes. You better get your bags together.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm sure looking forward to my stay here in Chicago. Should be a very happy one. You know, it could be for both of us, Frank.
Yeah, I guess it could. Captain?
Yes?
Would you go see Sergeant Driver with me?
No, Frank, that's something you'll have to do by yourself.
Well, what can I say to him? After all, I...
You might try saying thank you.
Yeah. I guess I never thought of that. Looks like I am a country boy after all.
Really? I don't see any straw sticking out of your ears.
Well, at least I can remember to say thanks to you.
Well, if I've helped you see the truth, Frank, that's all the thanks I want.
Does that offer of a ride still go?
Sure.
Very good, then. With you showing me the way, I know I won't get lost.
So ends the final act of Success, starring Tommy Cook as Frank Bennett. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is one of the programs selected to be heard by our men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, then, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening. And have a happy week ahead.